Ezekiel in chapter 36, and we'll begin to read at verse 21. Ezekiel 36, I'm beginning to read at verse 21. Let's hear God's word. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols will I clean you, cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call you for the corn, and I will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply by the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sake do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and in the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like a garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Wonderful reading. Again, in Deuteronomy, we saw what the Lord was not going to do and what he was going to do. We've seen the same thing in Ezekiel, things that he's going to do and things that he's not going to do. And it's not because of, it's in spite of. What a great and glorious God we worship. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." I want us to think this morning about the great exchange. The great exchange. And this evening, God willing, it's the great exchange accomplished. So this morning it's the great exchange, this evening it will be, God willing, the great exchange accomplished or finished. But I wanted just to think, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 verses 6 to 9, if you read earlier on, it talks about the great change that God was going to achieve with his people. And here again in Ezekiel, he's talking to the same people, the same type of people, not the same people. Many of them will be dead, but it's still Israel. But he's also talking to us, because the Old Testament is for Christians as well. A lot of people think that the Old Testament is just for the Jews. It was all happening with them. But we look forward to the New Testament, because it talks all about Jesus. But the whole Bible, I would say this and emphasize this, the whole Bible is for the Christian. We need the Old and the New Testament. We need them together, because you could never understand the New Testament without reading the Old Testament. For there's many things in the New Testament that Paul and Peter and John talk about, and even the Lord Jesus himself talks about, but you wouldn't know what they meant and what was he talking about if you didn't know something from the Old Testament. When they're talking about the blood of the goats and the bulls and that, if you didn't have an Old Testament, you would wonder, well, why was all this happening then? Who was it that was doing it? So I emphasise, I like myself, when I was on the streets, I always try to give a whole Bible away. It's good to give portions of Scripture. Yes, of course, God can use that. And it's good to give a John's Gospel, or it's good to give a New Testament and tell them to read the Gospels. But I always try to my best to give out a whole Bible. And if they come back the next time and they didn't understand certain things, then we would try to help them. So the great exchange, as we're reading about this morning in Ezekiel and in Deuteronomy, affects us. It affects us. And it's a great exchange. And it's a great exchange for these three reasons. I'll just use the three words. The great exchange. The great exchange means it's the only one. The means just one. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one way that we can escape from sin, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the great escape, it's because it's only one. It's the only one that can take you from death into life. It's the only one that can take you from darkness into light. It's the only one that can give you pardon. So the, and I emphasize this, because many people are trying to work, Paul in the New Testament was had to tell them, and Titus, that it's not by your works of righteousness that you do, but it's according to his mercy that he saved you. It's the only one way, Paul was telling them when he wrote to Titus and to the other churches. The, and I emphasize that this morning, my dear friends, there's only one great exchange. And then we take the second letter, great. The great exchange, because it's a divine work. It's a life-changing work. How often do we read or see or hear they've had an accident and it's life changing. Some here have had some things happen to them and it was life changing. Well, that's what the gospel is. That's what this great exchange is. It's life changing. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now he's talking about everyone there, but he's also emphasizing that he has chosen a certain people out of everyone. The emphasis here is that they were an unholy people. But now he has made them a holy people. It's life changing. Have you had your life changed? Or are you still the same? If you're still the same, then you're not a Christian. If your life hasn't been changed, then you're not on your way to heaven. You're on your way to judgment and to hell. It's a great exchange because it's a divine exchange. God himself looked down in mercy, as I said in my prayer. It's by grace that we are saved. By grace. And God uses this thing called faith. And he gives it to us. We can't handle it. We can't actually see it with physical eyes. But we can feel it. My life has been changed. I no longer love the things that I used to love. By grace, I was changed. It's a great exchange because it's a divine change. It's life changing. And I can go as far as to say this as well. It's soul changing. You have an eternal soul that can be lost. But when that great exchange happens, the soul is no longer lost. But the soul has been saved. And at the point of death, that soul goes to be with the Lord. We read about that in Revelation chapter 7. When they asked John, who are these that are all dressed in white? Well, John says, well, you know, I don't know, you know. Well, these are all those who have been saved by grace. Their souls. Where's their body? Where's their body? This is their soul. Their body is in the grave. It's corrupted. But their soul is alive. And it's well. And they're at peace because they're just laid there. Oh, my dear friend, it's a great exchange because it's a divine exchange. And it's life changing, it's soul changing, and the great exchange. The third letter is exchange. Not renovated. God doesn't renovate. He doesn't build onto. That's what it says, and Peter tells us at the end of time, God's not going to renovate, God's going to destroy, God's going to burn up. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And it's the same when we have this great exchange. There has to be something new. God doesn't renovate. He makes a new life in Christ. Oh, it's a great exchange because it's the only one. And it's a divine work. And it's for human benefit. What does God say? He said he doesn't do this for our sake. And he says that in Ezekiel, he doesn't do this for our sake. When David was writing Psalm 23, he says, lead me in the paths of righteousness. Not for my sake. But for your sake. God does it for his glory. First and foremost, the glory of God is at stake. And this is why he brings salvation. He brings salvation to some so that those on the outside can see the change and wonder, how can they be changed? How can some of these alcoholics that we knew, how could they be changed? How could some of the drug addicts that we used to work amongst, and some got changed. How could they be changed? People looked on. Those who were still drug addicts, those who were still coming to the day centre as drunks, they wondered, how can you be changed? Because you were the same as us, and you have this addiction, and it's an impossibility to change. So how can you do it? And then we have to tell them, we've been reading the scriptures to them, we've been praying for them, we've been teaching them about the way of salvation, and God has saved them. It's a great exchange, because I tell you, it's life changing. And if your life is still the same today as it was 2 or 3 years ago, 20 years ago, even 30 or 40 years ago, if it's still the same, then my friend, you're in a terrible state. And let me tell you this, you're in the right place. Where do you go to when you're ill? You go to the hospital, don't you? And where do you come to when you're ill with sin? You come to the church. You come to the place where the gospel is preached, where God's word is adhered to. That's the only way you'll get saved, is you come underneath the word. How shall they be saved? How shall they hear? Unless a preacher has been sent. Faith comes by the ear, not by the eyes, as some will be doing this morning with their big bands and their dancing. And we're thinking that's the way. But no, no, my friend. The Bible says faith comes by your ears. You have to hear. And Jesus himself says, take heed what you hear and take heed how you hear. Digest it. What did you do with your breakfast this morning? What are you hoping that your stomach's doing? You're hoping your stomach's digesting your food. And it's going to do you good, whether it was a big breakfast or a small breakfast. And it's the same with the word. It does your soul good. But you've got to swallow it first. And the question is, have you experienced this great exchange? Have you a different attitude towards the things of God? I can remember, I sometimes look back in horror and look at myself and think the things I used to do and the places I used to go. And you think, I would never have ever got out of that unless God had done something. And it's God that has to do everything. And you must ask yourself this morning, am I different? Am I different from those round about me? And what makes me different? Is it possible for me to stay different? Or will I fall back into my old ways? God says, I give you eternal life and you'll never perish and no one can take you out of my hand. God himself, the Father and the Son, the two of them have us in their hand. God holds the whole universe in his hand. And we are included in that whole universe. Oh, my dear friends, if your life's not been changed, then you're still the same. Paul says you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And you're without hope, without Christ and without God in this world. My friends, I'm telling you, it's a joy to be a Christian. It's a joy to be saved. It's a joy to know that my sins have all been forgiven. You don't know any about my sins. And I'm not going to tell you any of my sins that I committed. But I've told Jesus. In fact, I didn't need to tell him. He was telling me. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible tells you where you sin. Take heed what you hear. That's what Jesus says. This exchange is what you need if you have not been changed. It's essential because it's life-changing, it's soul-changing, what leads to new saving life. In Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8, and in Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us there, God says, "Today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart," as those people did when there was no water. They murmured. "Today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart." And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 that this is the day of salvation. "For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted." This is God speaking through Paul. "And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold now, today, even this moment," for some people, "even this very moment, behold now is the accepted time." How many people in these war-torn countries have gotten up now, they've enjoyed their breakfast, and then there's a bomb coming, and they'll be blown to bits. They'll have had no time to repent. This is why God's word tells us today, because God hasn't promised us tomorrow. He has only given us today. And he says, "Today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart." Today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. That's a wonderful word, accepted. Who's going to accept us? If I walked up to the palace gates and I says to the guard there, "I've come to visit Charles, King Charles," what do you think he would do? I think the first thing he would do would call the police. This man must be mad. Maybe he's a bomber. Maybe he's a terrorist. But he's obviously mad, thinking he can just walk into the palace and have an audience with the king. But now is the accepted time. If you come now, King Jesus will accept you. You come to him and tell him all your sin. Well, we can't tell him all our sin. We can only tell him the sin that we remember. There are so many sins far back that I can't remember what I've done. But he knows. You see, where God is, there's no time. It's eternity. So 1,000 years is just like a day, and a day is just like 1,000 years to God. This is why it's so important that God brings his word to us, and he tells us that in time, which I have given you, is time to repent. Our clock in the kitchen doesn't work. So I took it down and I opened it up, and I put the hands just before 12, and I wrote in it, "It's time to seek the Lord." And I put it back up on the wall, and when anyone comes into the kitchen, this is what they'll see, because you automatically look at a clock, and this is what they see. And some have said, "Oh, your clock's wrong, because it's 2 minutes to 12. And I say, "No, the clock's not wrong. It's time to seek the Lord." And that's what we need to do today, is to seek the Lord. The great exchange and what it gives us. And then secondly, if I've got time, the great exchange and what it makes us. So what does it give us? Well, look at verse 24. This is what it gives us. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. It gives us a new destination. Where are you headed? You're headed to two places, or one of two places. But here God says to the people that were trusting in him, I'm going to give you a new destination, because they were amongst the people and he's taken them out of the people. So he's given them a new destination, and the new destination is something that is yours. And can I say this without fear of contradiction? Heaven is mine. Heaven belongs to me. Because I'm a co-heir with him who dwells in heaven. And I'm an heir of God. And Hebrews tells us that this is not your rest. There's a rest for the people of God yet to come. I have a new destination. And God is working me towards that. And if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ today, then you have a new destination. And if you don't have a new destination, then you have the old destination. And where is the old destination? And Jesus tells us that in Matthew chapter 25. Begone. Enter into that place that was prepared for the devil. That's your destination. But God says, I'm the one that can change your destination. And that's what he says there in 24. He's changing the destination. And secondly, in verse 25, he changes something else. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. You're dirty. From all your filthiness, you're filthy. And from all your idols, you're idolatrous. And I will cleanse you. He gives us a new character. This is why he gives us a new heart, because our heart is stony. It's impossible that the heart can love. It's like a rock, any rock. Talk to it and see if it can talk back to you. And say to the rock, I love you. And ask, do you love me? But it doesn't answer, because that's the state of our hearts naturally. We don't love. But God changes our character. I'm new life in Christ. Paul tells us that we are a new creation. A new creation or a new character. And this is what it does here in verse 25. God says, I'm taking your filthiness from you. Your filthy rags. And I'm going to give you a new character. A character that can love. And that can love the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. We're going to have, in verse 26, a new love. A new love. Our old love was for self. Our old love was that we would be the best, that we would get the best, that we could maybe do the best. But here it says, a new heart I'm going to give you. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 26, God says, give me your heart. Give me your heart. That's what God asks for. He didn't ask for your money. He doesn't ask for anything else. He wants your heart. 23. In fact, he asks for two things. He wants your heart. And he asks that your eyes will observe his way. Have you given your heart to the Lord? Do you observe his ways? When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still. Only when we walk with the Lord and obey his word. A new love. loving God. That's a wonderful thing to be able to do this morning, my dear friends, is to love the Lord Jesus Christ. To see that man that hung on that cross, that man that suffered so much. I've said this before and I'll say it again. The worst thing that affects me is to think that they spat on my Saviour's face. And it tells us that in the scripture. That the petroleum, they spat on him. His own people, the priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they spat on him. And why did the Jews spit on him? Because that's the worst thing you could do to the Jew, because you would be unclean automatically. That's what God said to Moses concerning his sister when she sinned. If her father had spat on her, she would be unclean for 7 days. But her father didn't spit on her. But they spat on my Saviour. And they spat on him because of me. I see myself there. I see myself on Calvary. It was me that sinned, not this Son of God. I used to hate him. I used to blaspheme him. But by the grace of God, now I love him. And I can only love him because he first loved me. I have loved you with an eternal love, it says there. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What's my expected end? That I will spend eternity with Jesus. And he has promised to give me that expected end. And when God gives a promise, all his promises are yea and amen in his own dear Son. So I stand here with confidence that at the end of my life, I shall see him. As Isaiah chapter 17:11 says, your eyes shall see the King in all his beauty. And it goes on to say, and your eyes shall see the land afar off. Well, I see the land afar off. I've not yet seen the King in his beauty, but I've seen the land afar off. Every time I open the Bible, I see the land afar off. I see heaven. Because this is God's word. It came from heaven. Inspired men to write it down. That we could read it today. I'm preaching from God's word. I'm proclaiming God's word. Which is life changing. Soul changing. Believe it, my friends. Believe it. This is your only chance. Today, it says. Today is the day of salvation. This may be your only chance if you haven't changed, if you haven't trusted in Christ. This may be your only chance. And many people have walked into eternity in a moment's notice. But God is a good God. He gives us time. He gives us time. He's given us every Sunday. When we attend a place of worship, God has given us every Sunday. He's with us during the week, of course he is. But Sunday's a special day for the Lord. Because it's a day when his people, whom he has saved, meet together to sing his praises. A new love. And look at verse 26. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away your stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. He gives us a new beginning. Paul tells us in Corinthians that we are a new creation. It's a new beginning. You can start today as a new person. Have you ever thought of that? You can start today. Because it says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. How many people are going to be saved today? We don't know. I prayed that it might happen here. But God is building his church. So somewhere someone is being saved. In fact, thousands will be being saved all over the world. All these Bibles will be in different languages, but they're all saying the same thing. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. They're all in different languages, but they'll all be saying the same thing. There is salvation in another, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. They're all in different languages, but they're all saying the same thing. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. This. I was going to say it's worth its weight in gold, but it's worth more than gold. Oh, my friends, get yourself a Bible if you've not got it. And if you've got a Bible, read it. One of the first things they used to give when they was getting married, when I was a kid. Well, two things they always got. A canteen of cutlery. Everyone got a canteen of cutlery. And lots of people got a Bible. And where did the Bible go? On the shelf. It will never save you. The Bible will never save you on a shelf. It's got to be taken down and to be read. God gives us a new beginning. New. Not a renovated beginning. Not a built up beginning, but a new beginning. Everything's new. Time's going. Lastly, I've not got time to finish this. I might just do this tonight. Part of this tonight. But look at verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. What does he give us something there? He gives us a new direction. What is repentance? Repentance is turning from that way and facing that way. God gives us a new direction. We're looking to glory now. I've got time to finish this now, but as I said, I might just look through this little bit here at night with the other one. But I just want to emphasise that it's a great exchange. And it can't be exchanged by human hands. It can only be exchanged by divine hands. Human hands try and try again. When you put them into detoxes, you put them into hospitals, you put them here, there and everywhere. Human hands try to make a change. But it's only a timely change. But when the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes into your heart, it's an eternal change. And again, I'll finish with this. Have you experienced that change? Let's pray.